this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Amy Wentley for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from In Her Garden, Inspiration for Making Things Grow, and that's published quarterly by Stampington and Company. And I will also be sharing announcements of upcoming events from the J.C. Ralston Arboretum. So let's start out with those announcements from the Arboretum. The J.C. Ralston Arboretum is a local garden in Raleigh, North Carolina, and these are the events coming up. The first one is Forest Bathing. That's Thursday, April 16th, 2026. It's from 1 to 3 p.m. It also occurs on Saturday, April 19th, from 10 to 12 a.m. So Thursday, April 16th, 1 to 3, Saturday, 4:19, 10 to 12. You'll be stepping away from stresses of daily life and into the calming embrace of nature. This walk is led by a certified forest therapy guide, Sean Ramsey. And it's a two-hour tour that invites you to slow down, awaken your senses, and reconnect with the natural world. And that is coming up again Thursday, April 16th, 1 to 3, Saturday, 4:19, 10 to 12. The next one is a meeting of the North American Rock Garden Society Piedmont Chapter. The title of the talk is In the Footsteps of Irish Botanical Exploration in China, My International Dendrology Society Study Trip to Central China. It's done by Eileen Gahan. And Eileen Gahan is Irish, and she studied in the U.S. and got her master's degree at NC State University, working under Mark Wethington, the director of the J.C. Ralston Arboretum. And Ms. Gahan will be talking about a long history of Irish botanical exploration in China. So she also had the experience of traveling through central China in September 25 when she was awarded a grant to join the International Dendrology Society study tour. So that sounds like a fascinating lecture. The next event is Plant Detective, Saturday, April 18th, 10 to 12. This is for youth. It's suggested for 8 to 10-year-olds. And we set up a detective situation where children will go through and they'll have a guided exploration of the garden, and they'll explore plant structures and growing patterns and adaptations. And it's $8 per participant, and there's no cost for an adult who comes along. And there's also a Girl Scout workshop on outdoor art on Sunday, April 19th from 2 to 4. This is for Girl Scout troops or individual Girl Scouts, Daisy or Brownies. It's $15 per scout. The troops will stay together. The individuals will be grouped with other individuals to go through the activities. So you're going to be creating art with items in the garden with Girl Scouts. What could be better? And then the midweek program, this is a free program. It's online only. It's a live on Instagram on Wednesday, April 22nd from 3 to 4, although you can access it on Instagram at any time you would like. The midweek program is Practical Pruning with Greg Page and Evan Villani. Greg Page is the Director of Horticulture at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum, and Evan Villani is a research technician, and they are going to be talking about pruning. Pruning can feel intimidating, but it doesn't have to. And join Greg and Evan as they explore the ins and outs of pruning, why and when to prune, how to make clean, effective cuts, and what to avoid so you don't sacrifice flower buds. That is free. If you register at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum website, they will send you a link to the meeting. I wanted to remind you that Ralston Blooms is coming up on April 25th from 10 to 3. This is an exciting event. Goes all day long, 10 to 3. And this year, the J.C. Ralston Arboretum is celebrating its 50th anniversary, so it will be an exciting event for sure. So there's a plant sale. There are educational displays and demonstrations, artists, crafters, food trucks, family fun, the 24th annual birdhouse competition, gardening book sale, and lots of other exciting events. So please check it out. Okay, and now let's get on to our publication. Our first piece today is An Exotic Cottage Garden by Catherine Wyvern. Catherine Wyvern was born and raised in a crowded industrial town in North Italy. Catherine Wyvern moved around Europe until she found her own corner of idyllic countryside in southwestern France. She now runs her small homestead and art business from the most picturesque Cobb cottage in the woods. To see more of her garden and her artwork, visit Instagram. She's at Catherine Wyvern. So it's KatherineWyvern. Or you can find her at Fauno Fairy Woodcraft. So it's @FAUNO_FAERY_Woodcraft. Okay. An Exotic Cottage Garden by Catherine Wyvern. The first garden I remember was on the hills behind Garda in Italy. We used to go to the lake every summer. The house was rather shabby and had a similarly unkempt garden, surrounded by old hedges of boxwood and bay, overrun by honeysuckle. There were some enormous coniferous trees of some kind, with cave-like lower limbs. The grass was rough and full of creeping apple mint. There were cooking herbs like sage, thyme, and rosemary. And in the middle of the garden towered a mature magnolia tree that in June was always loaded with flowers. Everything was unpruned and overgrown. For me, a town child, this was perfect. An enchanted wilderness enclosed and self-contained. A secret, cool, dark green world, hidden like a magical doorway on the sun-drenched hillside. The scents in that long-ago garden were incredible, and whenever I have gardened since, I always plant scented things, and I have carried with me the longing for a place that is both familiar and exotic. A garden, like a good book, should take you on a journey without traveling from home. Over the years, I have both tiny and median suburban gardens until we purchased this hectare of unmanaged woodland in southwestern France. Right in the middle of the forest, we painstakingly carved out a garden divided into two parts, a shaded area near our cottage and a sunny plot about a minute's walk down the hill with a vegetable patch and orchard. I wanted flowers, unusual plants, and lovely exotics. But the priority was having a productive homestead, so the garden was never formally designed for an aesthetic effect, with the flower beds and ornamental things being placed simply where they fit. It is a cottage garden in the old sense of the phrase, since the form followed function more than the other way around. Still, the line between edible and ornamental is quite fluid, with many plants that are both beautiful and useful. I plant fig trees whenever I can. The oldest one is a cutting from the fig tree in my grandfather's garden in Italy. They have lush, jungle-like foliage and, of course, the fruit. And herbs can also be very glamorous in a garden. Salvia elegans, Allium triquetrum and fennel, both purple and green, are favorites of mine. Over the years, the garden has certainly achieved the overgrown jungle feeling of my childhood memory. even if climate change is a challenge for us. The soil here is light and free-draining, and summer droughts can turn the whole place into a scorched desolation, as watering everything would be prohibitive. On the other hand, the winters are unbelievably wet and occasionally freezing cold. There aren't many plants that perform well year-round with these increasing extremes, and everything goes through periods of shabbiness. At its worst, the garden looks like a feral wasteland, making me wish I stayed in town. But then there are the good times, and every struggle is forgotten. So these are some hardy plants with exotic flair that our author, Catherine Wyvern, suggests you look into for exotic flair. So for a spectacular group of plants that add year-round interest to the garden, some of my favorite hardy varieties are, well, hang with me here, Latin, okay, Hibano bambusa tranquillans, or Shiroshima, is a luminous variegated bamboo that's not too large and it's not too difficult to control. Sambucus, black beauty, an elder tree with fine purple-black leaves and flowers suffused with pink. Musabajo, a fairly hardy banana variety. Rosa moyesi, a rose with simple flowers of the most sumptuous velvet-like deep coral red. Choicha ternata, Sundance, a Mexican orange with lime green foliage that always looks like it has its own private sunshine on it. Self-sowers, such as foxgloves, fennel, borage, California poppy, honesty, and oxeye daisies, can do a lot of work in an informal garden. Some of my less hardy varieties are Colocasia, Fontanesii, both resilient and exquisitely beautiful. Hibiscus coquinus, the star of Texas, has tremendous foliage and spectacular red flowers in late summer. Begonias, an incredibly diverse genus. Many of them are very easy and rewarding. My favorite is Begonia boliviensis, Santa Cruz. Perennials, Colocasias, begonias, dahlias, and cannas can easily be overwintered as tubers and started again in the spring and make a luxurious summer jungle with minimal overwintering requirements. So, continuing in the article, in this region, the Dordogne, where every walk is full of grand and timeless views, my garden invites me to look close and explore the beauty of tiny things and fleeting moments, to slow down and use all my senses. Here are the fragrant verbenas, mint, and lemon. There's black sage, powdery white with the darkest flowers, and the black currant scent. A leaf catches the sun seductively while colored veins form an exquisite tracery and a serrated edge is bejeweled with glittering dewdrops. For a moment it sounds like rain, but it's just the wind in the bamboo. A passion flower blooms incongruously from an elder tree branch. A golden raspberry beckons, sweet and still warm with the sun. I turn a corner and the light changes everything. Purple-black leaves are lit plummy orange with backlight. Unremarkable white flowers flare up like fireworks. In the dappled woodland shade, constantly changing spotlights pick out a new protagonist at every moment. Gardening is never just horticulture. It's a poetic apprenticeship. Lush foliage and bold flowers are an education in light, shape, and unrestrained color. You can steer it somewhat, but you must soon give up on having complete control. Nothing stays put, but growth trumps perfection. being immersed in a dance of zingy green, flaming scarlet, pink, and orange, the mixing and matching patterns and textures, everything so willfully lush and vibrant, and the changeful light playing with it all. It is exhilarating and cathartic. Looking back, I think I embraced bold, bohemian color in art and decoration around the same time I became interested in exotic plants. A complete cure for minimalist grayish and cautious conformity. Our next article is An Unruly Adventure by Danielle Coick. Raised in Charlotte, North Carolina, and deeply rooted in Southern hospitality, Danielle Coick's career spans over two decades immersed in the art of entertaining. Her career began with one in Washington, D.C.'s premier caterers before founding Magnolia Bluebird, a celebrated event planning firm she has successfully led for 14 years. Known for trendsetting designs and challenging status quo, she leans on her love of color, pattern, and layering, blending gracious hospitality with refined design to inspire others. With a love of home, gathering heirloom treasures, and supporting mission-driven businesses, Ghost Host by Magnolia Bluebird is a natural extension of her expertise and purpose. She brings together event mastery, an innate sense of welcome, and modern heirloom approach to empower others to entertain with confidence and style. To learn more, visit magnoliabluebird.com. Ghost Host by MB.com. And Instagram at magnolia_bluebird. So, An Unruly Adventure by Danielle Coick. Truthfully, I'm not sure when my love of gardening started. Was it playing in the dirt as a kid, saving and rehoming earthworms from the hot summer sidewalks, or was it in the joy of being able to stand over the sink with my grandmother giggling as we ate the most delicious tomato sandwiches? It felt unruly and like an adventure. She was fun but fairly formal, and getting away without a plate or a napkin at a meal was somehow mischievous, and we loved it. My grandmother grew squash and cucumbers and more bushels of beans than I ever care to snap again. But her true love was the tomato. Her counters were covered in them every summer. Better Boys, Lemon Boys, Beefsteak, Big Boys. The names were always so fascinating to me. Plastic grocery bags set at the ready for anyone lucky enough to come by and visit a while. No one was leaving without at least a few tomatoes, like them or not. My grandmother was my best friend, so naturally, I love tomatoes, too. More than the tomatoes themselves, I love what happened during gardening season. It meant no school, and we got to play together all day. We delighted in hide-and-seek with the cucumbers and finding the enormous zucchini we somehow didn't see for weeks. It meant lying on a blanket in the backyard, finding cloud animals and daydreaming. It meant falling in love with the green iridescence of the Japanese beetle and also seven dust, although I cringe now as an organic gardener. My friends and I eventually went off to college. Some came back to North Carolina, married, and had families, and others moved on in other directions. I went to work for a catering company in a city 6 hours away that I'd never even visited until I interviewed for my job. I didn't know a soul. It was terrifying and simultaneously freeing, a little unruly, definitely adventurous. It was there, though, that I came to fall in love with food. I tried everything at least once. I became enamored with the way simple, beautiful ingredients evolved into culinary masterpieces. A pinch of this, a dash of that. The presentations were far from my two slices of white bread mayo and thickly sliced tomatoes. I loved them both. I had a dream of owning my own home with my own garden. It felt far-fetched for a single girl living on her own in one of the most expensive cities in the country. But that dream was never far away. Countertop herb pots gave way to window boxes, turned container gardens and containers into a co-op bed. Vacations always seemed to find a garden for me to wander around in. Finally, in the spring of 2022, I bought my first home. I grew to thrive as a wedding designer, expertly pairing wines and dishes, creating beautiful place settings, and falling deeper into my love affair with gathering, delighting as I got to be a part of not only these culinary experiences, but also milestones rooted in joy. I was in love with the unbridled authenticity that only happens with the perfect blend of music, guest indulgent, thoughtful touches, and the right lighting. It was magical, and I was the magician. I was only making enough money to pay my rent and car insurance at the time, but we always had staff meals. I'm sorry, I think this was before she bought her home. I think the her buying the home was an inset, so thank you. Anyway, back to paying rent and car insurance at the time, but we always had staff meals, so I never went hungry. The way the team gathered for lunch was reminiscent of parties my parents and grandparents hosted. The work stopped. Everyone came to the table. Food meant gathering, and gathering meant stories, told, heard, shared, and sometimes just plain made up. I always left with a new wonderment. Over the last several years, I've observed the sun, removed dead and rotting trees to create more space for light, fought with lantern flies, and leveled the only patch of my lawn that gets enough sunlight to do any tomato justice. I started with an 8-foot by 16-foot raised bed with deer fencing that I built from a kit, screw by screw, and filled shovel by shovel. What began with a pallet of cedar planks has provided far more than a place for me to grow things. It was a space to rest, think, and process. It was a space for me to prove myself to myself that I could do hard things. It challenged me to learn to ask for help, something I was deeply uncomfortable with at the time. My tomatoes were mildly successful that year. A long stretch of hot, dry weather, followed by weeks' worth of deluge, resulting in exploding waterlogged fruit. Lesson unlocked. The next year, I leveled a larger patch and added 10 more raised beds and a shed. No one has ever called me a minimalist. I moved 4 tons of pea gravel by hand. It was truly a labor of love. My 8-foot by 16-foot turned into 25 by 35, and 12 varietals of tomatoes morphed into a wonderland filled with 16 varietals in all shapes, colors, and sizes, as well as green and yellow squash, bush beans, snap peas, and edamame. 3 types of cucumbers, okra, I highly recommend spineless, juice box watermelons and cantaloupe, 4 types of pumpkins, red striped and golden beets, 4 types of radishes, including one found at Monticello, and dozens of flowers, including zinnia, dahlia, amaranth, gomphrena, cosmos, and of course, marigolds in 3 colors. I still have terrible luck with lettuce, and spinach and carrots might be a lost cause. I learned about companion planting. Borage is mean, but beneficial, and it sure does do its job. I started everything from seed. I sense a greenhouse in my future. Added cattle fence paneling for sturdy arches and trained a wild web of tunneled vines all summer long. I battled squash bugs and powdery mildew because my arch nemesis... I battled squash bugs and powdery mildew became my arch nemesis this year. As I write this, there's snow melting outside of my window, but I can still see the large yellow blossoms early in the morning and hear the symphony of bees flitting from flower to flower as I sip my coffee. The truth is, I grow a lot of things I don't eat. I give them away instead. I don't need this much space or produce for that matter, but having a garden is far more than growing things. Yes, the produce tastes better than anything in a grocery store, although I should see an ROI on produce in the year 2090. But it is an easy conversation starter with neighbors I'd likely never meet otherwise. I learn from other gardeners, and sometimes we just commiserate, depending upon what Mother Nature is up to. As an event planner, I do specific intentional, articulate, and triple-checked, but I lose all sense of control when I'm in my garden. Even when I think I have it all figured out and it is going well, along comes a leaf bug. I simply smile, squish, and troubleshoot. No one is watching me or critiquing me. It's my little heaven to figure out and share with the world. I get to feed a few folks along the way, and that fills my soul. I think my grandmother would be absolutely tickled with the names of some of the tomatoes I grow now. Berries, cherry, mortgage lifters, Uluru, okra, ananas noir. She would have loved black crims, purple Cherokees, and my favorite, sun golds. We call them sunshine tomatoes, as dubbed by my then 4-year-old neighbor who helps me harvest sometimes. She earns her fair share, although none ever make it home. Creating a tablescape designed for my love of tomatoes was an homage to my love of gardening. To my grandmother who made it fun, to my father who instilled a sense of wonder with work ethic, to my love of food and feeding people, and lastly, as a conduit for relationships, storytelling, and intention. Gathering around a table fosters connection, fuels conversation, and opens opportunity. The creative process is much like growing a garden. You can't force it. Usually when you think you have it figured out, something changes. It is a gift that becomes a skill that not everyone has. It requires patience and release. Creating the table also takes a village. The tailors, the embroiderers, the bakers, distillers, winemakers, chefs, potters, and candlestick makers. It is all a symphony of gifts that we get to enjoy. It's a little unruly, but always an adventure. Well, dear listeners, that is it for us today. We have run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden, and we hope you enjoy listening. Please join us next time. I'm Amy Wentley, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.